Hey, we are glad to have you with us over here today to worship with us during this Christmas season. Thank you for those that are with us in person, also for those that are with us online. We're glad to have you join with us in this time of worship. Now, I'd like to ask each one of you to take your Bibles, or if you've something that you've got your Bible on, and turn to the book of Matthew and look at the second chapter. Matthew, the second chapter. There are a lot of ways of describing Christmas. And one of the ways is that Christmas is a time of seeking. Seeking. We always are trying to seek that perfect gift that we want to give for certain individuals. Now, it can be a maddening time of a lot of stress because you're trying to find that particular gift. And in the past, there were constantly crowds that you were having to deal with. Now, this is like taking you back in the old days, 2019, even, of when you had the malls and all the crowds of just the mosh pit of people coming in during Christmas. I sort of grew up on this. When I was graduating from high school, I took my first job and was working at Sears Roebuck, and I was in the toy department. And so went off to college. Every year I would come back. I'd come back in December, and they would put me there in the toy department. Now, that is a fun department to be in, but it can be harrowing. People rushing, trying to get the newest toy, and you're trying to stock the shelves, and they're ripping stuff off quicker than you can even get them on the shelves. And so there's all this mass of people that are just trying to seek and find that perfect gift. And today, it's a little bit different. Today, I guess you take out your phone or your iPad or computer and you start flipping, scrolling a website, trying to find something, push a button, say, ship it over here. Not quite as exciting, but it's still seeking after that particular gift. But what I've discovered in life is that when you look at Christmas, it's more than just seeking a right gift. But there are other things that happen during Christmas, and that is it's seeking things such as peace, hope, happiness, fulfillment, a purpose in life. As fast-moving as we think Christmas is, there really are times where people reflect. And whether it's watching television and seeing a commercial and people talk about these things, or whether it's just you settling in and thinking, you know, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this. I'm looking for some type of peace, looking for some type of purpose, some type of meaning. And here we celebrate this Christmas. So what do I do for this? And when you truly seek these things, that search will take you to the babe in Bethlehem and will take you to the Savior of the world. And so during this Christmas season, when we begin to be seeking those things, you will find yourself in a position of either being a seeker or a sitter. A seeker or a sitter. You'll either be one who will seek after hope, meaning, purpose, and a serious relationship with God, or you will be one who decides to sit on the sidelines, content with the status quo, and then actually watch your life morph into a life of malaise and meaninglessness. And so you got the option. You can either be a seeker or you can be a sitter. I want us to look at a biblical account of the three wise men, and they'll give us some ideas and direction for being a true seeker. Are you ready? So it's Matthew chapter 2, starting in the first verse. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men," some of your translations have magi, "the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet.'" And last week we showed this passage, it's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And he says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." It says there was a group of wise men, magi. These were men who traveled most likely from Babylon, and they traveled about 650 miles. And these men over there in their role, it was a priestly role, where they were men who kind of knew a little bit about everything. They were into astronomy, religion, medicine, philosophy. And so there were these three wise men. And they began to travel and make their way to Jerusalem. Now, the reason they did this is that there was something going on during that day, during the Orient. And in that time in the Orient, there was this fever pitch of expectation of a Messiah. And so it was being talked about, and people were just living in a time of expectation, thinking that some kind of Messiah, now they didn't understand to be the Son of God, but there's some kind of Savior, some great ruler. And they felt like it was going to happen in Judea. And so it says these men saw a star. During those days, they believed that great events and great births were being announced whenever a star would appear. So if some unusual bright star appeared, their first thought is a great man, a great king is getting ready to be born. And so what they did was they left their homeland and they began to pursue this messianic figure. Now, let me talk to you about seekers and sitters. So the first thing is if we compare seekers versus sitters, I want us to compare the wise men and then the priest and the scribes that were talked about in verses 4 and 5. Number one, seekers ask questions where sitters rest on prior knowledge, okay? Seekers ask questions where sitters just rest on prior knowledge. When they came in verse 2, they asked the question, "Where is he? Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Now, they just came right out. They went into Jerusalem, and they found the leaders, and they said, "Where is this one that's been born king of the Jews?" They were willing to ask questions. Now, what I've discovered in life is that everybody doesn't like to ask questions. Some people don't like to ask questions because they don't really want you to think that they don't know something. So thus, they don't ask questions. We morph as children like this. When you get in the car with a young child and you start driving, that young child, and let's just say that young boy, will ask you question after question after question after question after question. But then a transformation takes place because once that child grows up into a man and is no longer sitting in the back seat, but is now sitting in the front seat and has got his hands on the steering wheel and driving, and even if he has no idea where he's going, he will not ask any questions. Will not ask for directions. "I'm not going to ask where. I'm just going to keep on going." There are a number of people that they just don't ask the where. But you know what seekers do? The seekers ask questions. They ask for direction. They're willing to ask where because they want to know the truth. They want to know where they can find the truth, and they want to know how to get there. The Jewish leaders, they were the sitters. Jesus was right under their nose, and they didn't even get up to check it out. When asked Herod, Herod brought the chief priests and the scribes together, and he said, hey, they tell me this Christ is to be born. Where is he supposed to be born? They didn't hesitate. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Old Testament. It says he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. That was 5 miles away from Jerusalem. And once they had this information, what they did is they're just going to rest on their prior knowledge. We're not going to check it out. We are too content with what we are in our life that we're not even going to check this out. Now, how does this relate to us today? Some of you today are not growing in your faith because you've got all your theology in some neat memorized package. And you don't ask the where is God moving questions. You don't ask where is this in Scripture. You do not mind the depths of Scripture or pursue a deeper relationship with God. You're just a content sitter. And the result is that you're missing out on so much of what God wants to do in your life. Yet you're just content to say, I'm going to rest on my prior knowledge. I don't need to move forward. I mean, there have been some exciting things that have been happening in the life of our church. But this past month, we had members of our church, two men in their 70s and 80s. They are church members. They even got their picture in the pictorial directory. And they got to the point in their life where they didn't want to be sitters. They wanted to be seekers. And they began to ask questions. And as they began to ask questions, they began to ask serious questions about who Jesus was and didn't rest on just prior book knowledge they had. Now they wanted to go deeper. And when they went deeper, they discovered they'd never made a decision for Christ, and they prayed and asked Christ to come into their heart. Amen? Their lives are changed for eternity because they were a seeker and not just a sitter. And so, in this situation, we understand that seekers are the ones who will ask questions. Sitters just rest on prior knowledge. Number two, difference. Seekers move out. Sitters stay put. Seekers move out. The wise men, they saw the star. They came 650 miles. And most people say they traveled by camel. I don't know how long it takes, but pretty long distance, I would think. 650 miles. To find out the truth about a Messiah. The sitters were five miles away, right there in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, just 5 miles over here, and they didn't even move an inch. Even with the wise men telling them of this miraculous star and the buzz of the messianic expectation, they gave the correct answer. They were asked, do you know where this Christ is to be born? Yeah, it's supposed to be Bethlehem. But yet they didn't think it was worth their time to even to travel 5 miles to check it out. They gave the correct answer. They gave the seekers to the right spot. The problem was they knew the facts, but they really didn't know the Father. And they knew all these facts, but they didn't know the Father, and so they were willing to give out the facts, but they were going to stay put. They did not even check it out. Didn't even check it out themselves. Wow. You see, seekers will move out, but the sitters will just stay put. It would almost be if there were some writings and some expectations of some great event that was going to happen here, or maybe some great man or woman leader that was going to be born in Alabama, and it had been talked about for years. And some people heard about it in Dallas, Texas. And then they saw some great star, something in the sky, some astronomical thing, and they said, I feel led to drive over there. So they drive to Birmingham because we're the largest city, thinking this is where it would be. And they stopped and they came to this church and asked us. And they said, hey, we've been reading that someone great is supposed to be born around this area. And then we said, oh, yeah, it's in Pelham. Yeah, we've read the prophecies and it's in Pelham. And they go, okay, all right. That's just 5 miles south of here. Okay, we're going. And then we never go and check it out. Guys just drove 650 miles. They told me some incredible star they saw. They give me this amazing story. And then we know about part of the story, but he's giving me an incredible update, and he's going to go down 5 miles. And then we sit there and go, nah, we're not going to do that. You see, I'm just going to stay put. You see, you can know the answers to the questions and just stay put. If we asked you, I said, what is the great commandment? Jesus says to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your mind. So, and then he also comes back and says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know these things. Do you love your neighbor? Do you do these things? We talk about the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Go, right? Go into all the world, making disciples, teaching them to observe all the things that I have taught you. And he says, you're baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. We know this, but how many of us are doing this? Are you really going out making disciples? And when it says over here, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Are you doing that? Are you giving to meet the needs of others? Are you giving to advance the kingdom of God? When God's word says that we are to pray without ceasing, do you live your life in an attitude of prayer? You see, if you say no to any of these things, you're just being a sitter. All you're doing is saying, I know the facts, and I've got them all memorized, and I put them all together, but I'm not doing anything with them. And so what these men did, these were seekers. They'd heard that there's going to be a Messiah born sometime. They see this amazing sign of this star. And so they're packed up and they're heading over there and they're following it and they're getting all the information that they can get. You see, the difference is seekers move out. They look for where God is working and then they move toward that direction. Sitters stay put. That is why two people can come to the same worship service, sing the same songs, hear the same sermon. One can walk out and have their life impacted. The other can walk out and see absolutely no change. One's going to be a seeker, and one's just going to be a sitter. You've got to ask yourself the question, are you a seeker or are you a sitter? The third, when you're trying to compare seekers and sitters, this one's it. A little bit longer. But follow me. Seekers are guided more by revelation than by reason. Sitters are guided more by reason than revelation. Look at that again. Seekers are guided more by revelation than by reason. Doesn't mean they don't have reason. Sitters are guided more by reason than revelation. Now, reason says, I've got this thing all figured out. It makes sense to me, and anything that contradicts with reason, I will reject it, okay? I'm just going to sit here. Revelation calls me to trust a Father who knows more than I do, even when common sense disagrees. The star was a revelation. This star was a revelation that got the attention of these three wise men, and it led them on a 650-mile journey towards Jerusalem. How do you reasonably explain to your wife as you're loading up the camel that, honey, I'm going on a 650-mile journey because I saw a star? Does that make sense? And he says, it's a revelation, and I feel this is what I'm supposed to do. And so they began to make that trip. But as they got closer, their reasoning was, if a child is going to be born, that's going to be a king, it would be in the city of kings, which is Jerusalem. So as they're following this star, they end up coming to Jerusalem and they began to ask further directions. Where is this child? And so it seems like he would be here and reason would say be here. Interesting. The religious leaders were thinking about reason because they knew the answer. It says, hey, it says Bethlehem. But that really can't happen. I mean, no Messiah's going to be born in that little town over there. I know that's what it says, but that really can't be it. Well, they share the scripture. And so once the wise men get God's revelation from the scriptures, they get a request from Herod who says, hey, go find the child and come back and give me word as to exactly where he is. They then determined to go to Bethlehem, and lo and behold, when you read the scripture, it says the star reappeared. There it is again. And it led them to Bethlehem, and it didn't just lead them to Bethlehem, it led them right to the house where Jesus was. Now, most people believe that Jesus was about 2 years old at this time. And they'd set up shop there in Bethlehem. He's working there. And Joseph, he's a carpenter. So they're living life in Bethlehem. And they followed the star and took them right to the house as to where they were living. And so that night, they encountered God. That night, it says these three men, it says they let them into their home. And when they got into their home, they encountered God. Wow. And it would really change their lives forever. But on the flip side, the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes, the ones that were giving them all the information, the sitters, what they did that day is they completed their to-do list for the next morning. They reviewed the temple rituals that they would have to be a part of. They made note of the different discussions that they were going to have that next day. They blew out the candle and they went to sleep, having no idea what they had missed 5 miles down the road. Now, if you're a sitter, how many times has God shared a revelation with you that just did not make sense? And you didn't act on it because it didn't seem reasonable. It didn't make sense to you, so you just neglected it. You didn't seek, you just sat. And most likely you missed a special encounter with God. Because as a seeker, you look for revelation and you'll respond to that. Listen, our church being in the middle of a pandemic, it made absolutely no sense for us to consider to adopt another church that would require at least $1 million to put into that church to get it in a position to best be able to reach its community. That makes zero sense. Reasonably, that makes no sense. But yet, it was a revelation from God. And the more we prayed about it, and we felt like this is what God wants to do. And through the goodness of God and the generosity of our members, the money was there. And we were able to invest in this church, and it's now Hope Community Church. And God is going to continue to do great things through that. There are times where you got to be a seeker, and you've got to look for God's revelation, and you got to move with it, okay? These three men did, and it was an encounter that they'll never forget. Their lives were changed forever. All right, let me give some good words. Number two is this: God helps seekers find Jesus. God helps seekers find Jesus. Now, this is great news, is that if you're going to try to seek Jesus, guess what he's going to do? God's going to help seekers find Jesus. In verses 9 through 12, as he said, go and search diligently, all of a sudden he brought the star, he brought it right to the home, and they found him. But what you've got to understand, this journey was not easy. It was long, it was costly. They lost sight of the star. They may have just given up in Jerusalem, you know, because they went to Jerusalem and they're looking for help. Apparently the star was not taking them towards Bethlehem. And sometimes that disappointment can paralyze our faith, but we got to continue to search despite the obstacles, confident that God will help seekers find Jesus. And in fact, he promises us in Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14, look what he says. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. You seek me, you will find me. See, God led the wise men first by a star. Then he led them by scripture. Then again, he led them by the star. And then when that night, he gave them a dream and he led them again and provided a safe exit. Listen, God will do whatever it takes to bring a seeker to his or her destination. He will stop at nothing to bring the truth of his son to the sincere follower. I can with assurance say that if you're here today and you're watching us online and you've never turned your life over to God, you've never accepted Jesus as the Savior of your life, yet you are a seeker of God, this could be the day that could eternally change your life. He is revealing himself to you and he is calling you to himself, even as he was calling those three wise men to see his son Jesus. He is calling you. Now, many of you are already a believer and you're a Christ follower, and yet you are a seeker, constantly seeking what it is that God wants for you to do. It's constantly looking for him to disclose something about himself. And I'm telling you that today, through this service, through the things that God speaks into you, he is going to disclose more about himself, his purposes, and also his ways. And you need to respond to that revelation. Be a seeker and not a sitter. Respond to what he says. And here's the last point, and that is when seekers discover Jesus, they worship him and obey him. When seekers discover Jesus, what do they do? It says they worship him and obey him. If you look at what it said here in Scripture, in verse 11, it says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." What did it do? When they came to the house, they invited them in, and it says they saw the child and they worshiped him. Jesus was the goal of their search. I gotta be real straight with you. I said, you know, when they opened that door and there's Joseph and there's Mary and there's Jesus, do you think there was a little bit of disappointment? I mean, this is supposed to be some king, some Messiah, some great person. There's no pomp. There's no circumstance. There's no court. There's no elegance. It's just a simple, kind of almost a teenage mom and a young dad, and they got a two-year-old child. And I hate to tell you this, but they're wanting a halo painted over his head like they did in some of those artwork on there. He's like a two-year-old. He's like your two-year-old. He said, no, it can't be. yeah, he's a two-year-old. And so he looks, and for something that when they got there, that God just like opened their eyes to see this truly is the Son of God. This truly is the Christ child, because their first response was they fell down and they worshiped him. Now, when they walked in, they could have maybe gotten together and said, you know, we brought a lot of good gifts, and I don't know if they're really worth it or not. I mean, this isn't really what I thought it would be. But you know what they did? They gave everything that they had. And so their whole search culminates with worship. They bowed and they acknowledged that the child was a Christ. Second, they gave all they had prepared to give. No sacrifice was too high. They gave of their time. They traveled 650 miles. They gave of their resources. And so they said, I'm worshiping you and I'm obeying you. And when you seek the things of God and you seek God himself, he will guide you and you will know when you have discovered him, and your first inclination will be to worship him. It was not a Q&A session. It was first thing they did was they worshiped him. But then following this time of worship, there will be a crisis of belief. Anytime you come into this relationship with Christ, and anytime God reveals something to you more about who Jesus is, there will come a crisis of belief where you will have to choose to obey him or disobey him. I mean, this is just a great story, getting all the way up to verse 11. Man, they found Jesus, they gave the gifts, life is good, they've accomplished their purpose, and then all of a sudden you get to verse 12. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, this is all good stuff. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting warned in a dream. And somehow, God spoke to them that night as they were sleeping, and he said, hey, don't go back to Herod. I know that's what he told you, but don't go back to him. Really? That makes no sense. All reason would say we need to go back to Herod. He told us to come back. We should go back and give him the good news. You know what? Maybe there's a reward, you know, that they have for finding the child. Maybe he'll pay our mileage back to Babylon. Maybe they'll put us on the 6 o'clock news and we can tell them what we found. Maybe we will be the talk of Jerusalem. This would make sense. We have traveled so long, so far, and now you're telling me, hey, your job's done. You need to move on. But don't move back. Don't go back the same way you came. Now listen, we mapped out the perfect route. It's a straight line to get there. Now you're telling me that I've got to change my route. It could be more difficult, could take more time, could have more dangers to it. But this is what you're telling me, God? And this is where your crisis of belief comes. And he says, I'm telling you, you need to go a different route and don't go back and tell Herod. And God says, just trust me on this one. Just trust me. So, it says here, that's exactly what they did. Now, they had no idea at the time what was weighing in the balance with this choice. That same night, an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph, and he said, Joseph, your life is in danger, and your child's life is in danger. You, Mary, and Jesus, you need to pack up your stuff, and you need to get out of here. And you need to flee to Egypt. And you need to go now. by the wise men not returning to Herod and giving him the news where he was, gave additional time for them to gather their stuff, to flee, to go to Egypt before Herod picked up on what was happening, and then he began to send his marauders in there to try to find and kill Jesus the child. You see, there was a time of revelation, and when that revelation came, they worshiped. But a part of that worship was to be obedient. And there was a crisis of belief that took place, and those three took the word and followed it and said, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for us. Maybe I don't understand why, but let's just go. And they did. And God honored that. You see, this Christmas, you have a lot of goals, a lot of things maybe you want to do. Wouldn't it be nice if this Christmas you made the decision to say, Lord, I want to be a seeker and not a sitter. I've just been too comfortable, too content in my spiritual life. And if somebody came to me and said, hey, 2020, can you tell me about any special encounters you had with God? Nah, can't really think of one. Anything you did that was a big step of faith that maybe God revealed to you to say, hey, I want you to step out and do this? Nah. Well, how about 2019? Can you go to 2018? How far do we have to keep counting back? I've just sort of gotten into this little bit of a comfort groove, and I'm just a sitter. And what's good is I can be like the priests and the scribes and be a dispenser of information. So if other people come and ask about godly things and where can I find this or that, I'll be glad to give them those answers. But I'm not going to do anything to act on it. I'm just going to be a sitter. Wow. When I think about being a seeker or a sitter, I always go back to this particular story and think about the night those three wise men had versus the night those priests and scribes had. What a huge difference. And they missed it. And it was right there in front of them, 5 miles from Jerusalem. And he didn't take it. Man, my hope that we will be people and we will be a church that will always be seeking and say, God, what is your revelation? What is it you want me to do? We don't ever want to get comfortable, don't want ever to be just sitting content, but always seeking his revelation. Now, we're going to have a song that we're going to close, and we've got a number of people that are going to make their way up here, and so I'm going to give them the opportunity to come up here, and I'm going to share just about one more thing with you, and then we're going to be ready to close out with the song. There was a pastor by the name of Charles Crabtree, preached a sermon a long time ago, and it was called God's Grammar. And he made a statement in that sermon, and he says, never put a period where God puts a comma, and never put a comma where God puts a period. What do you think about that? Let me go back to the first one. What if you said, never put a comma where God puts a period? It means there's some things that you may keep pushing against, and God has put a period there, and he says, this isn't a comma, this is a period. Maybe it's a relationship that you keep trying to make work, whether it be a dating relationship or trying to consider marriage or whatever, and he keeps putting periods, and you keep thinking it's commas, it's a period. Maybe it's a business deal, something that you keep trying to push forward, and there's obstacle after obstacle. God keeps closing the door on it. There's some things that God will put a period, and when he does, you don't need to translate that as a comma. But then there are other things to where God's got a comma and you may be putting a period. And this is where God's revelation comes in, to where we want to constantly be seeking his will and his face, because there are some things that we may look at and think, well, I'm putting a period on this one. God says, no, this is just a comma. This is just a comma. I want you to continue to move forward in that. May Christmas be a time that changes that mindset to where we are seeking, constantly seeking his revelation. And then once we get it, Let's act upon it, okay? Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we read through the Christmas story, there's so many things that we learn and can learn today. And Father, I guess I'm amazed of three men getting on camels traveling 650 miles because they're following a star and they're just hoping. And Lord, I realize that you're the one that drew them. You're the one that used them. You're the one that has got that story and placed it in Scripture to confirm with us that Jesus is the Son of God and also to give us a challenge. So Father, during this Christmas season, I pray two things. Number one, you protect us physically. And that you would build a hedge of protection and keep us well during this time. And number two, that we truly would be seekers and that we'd seek after you and seek after the revelations that you keep wanting to show us so that we can advance your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.